make your dreams come true. La da 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 da. You would spend the night alone and cry to sleep upon the kitchen floor. La da 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 da.
Thought I was happy till I waited in my sorrow. Waiting on tomorrow left me in debt to the time borrowed. How we hollow but still full of an emotion, loaded like bullets hid inside the minds of magazine and dream. Now read the full clip, trying to communicate to those who just don't understand. Sometimes life feels so hopeless, I wanna die, but helping hands to keep carrying my weary soul. Something deeper is in control. Need to find a way outside the drama that's become my show.
If I could fly to you, I would. I wouldn't be giving up so soon. La da 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 da. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm here in your pocket too. La da 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 da.
Propaganda's got us lost and trying to find the answer. Sobbing and smiling, we might as well laugh as we die of cancer. Money did help me with problems, but as yet to solve them. What's the reason for breathing, holding babies? Reminds me why I'm so grateful for beautiful blessings I've been given. Learning precious lessons from the presence of elders and children. The secret of life has been hidden, but I'm driven to manifest what I need to protect myself from this hell we live in.
About midway in this interview, there's a strange sound that comes, and that is on our end, not yours. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. I'm Susanna Mars. Welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I'm sitting here with musician Joe Kai, who I was introduced to via Demay Roberts from KBOO's Stage and Studio. And I am so delighted that you are here. We just listened to your song, and I'm going to have it on the podcast as the first thing everyone hears, because it's just, it's so beautiful, and there's so much to it. As you were just explaining to me, it opens at an event. Can you kind of start telling everybody how the song came to be?
Sure. I mean, the song came to be, I would say, from infancy in a lot of ways. It's a catalog of my experience as an immigrant here in the United States. Born in Korea, I moved to the United States. My dad was a PhD student for basically my entire childhood, all the way up till age 18. And one thing with international students is we expect them to come study at, you know, some of the world's best institutions, and then get the hell out of our country, take that knowledge elsewhere. And we don't allow their children, their dependents to work or naturalize. Mm. The song starts at a gala event, I think, at the Crocker Art Museum in Sacramento. There were a lot of amazing donors who care a lot about the arts, but there's always a level of personal discomfort for me when I'm surrounded by a lot of wealth, which is something that I think as a family of four, growing up and trying to support ourselves on a TA salary, we were not surrounded by that wealth.
Mm-hmm. And then you're working, of course, as a musician.
Right.
And so you're the help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for
sure. I've been there many a time.
Especially at an event like that, mm-hmm. where, clearly the organizers, you know, reached out to me. They were obviously very excited to have me, but you know, when you're at a gala event, for sure, you're kind of the background ambiance, as opposed to let me communicate this intensely personal work that I've created to you.
Mm-hmm.
Transitioning, the song transitions from a live recording from that event to kind of, we switch immediately into the vacuum of the studio, which mm-hmm. is kind of a place where I have control and I have free rein to express myself directly to the people who choose to listen to the track.
Right. That is so fascinating, just that experience of being an artist at an event such as that.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of a microcosm of our world, mm-hmm. you know, how people behave toward each other, mm. value.
Right, value for sure. I mean, a large part of the song is based on the struggles that I had trying to find what happiness was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when North Faces became the rage in middle school and everyone had to have one, it was hard to be on the outside looking in, mm-hmm. Having to shop for, fleece knockoffs basically at the Gap, you know, because they're on sale. And I think the song kind of rails against some of those capitalist urges and prescriptions of what happiness is, which is to say, I think our current world is telling us that you can only be happy if you're able to afford XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't afford it, then perhaps you're not deserving of that happiness.
Right.
But through writing this song, through my conversations with Rasar, who is the rapper on the track,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to redefine what it means to be happy. Whether it's holding a baby, whether it's appreciating the moment as it is, regardless.
Feeling the sun on your face.
Yeah, feeling the sun on your face, regardless of the, regardless of your productivity, right? Regardless of how well you're serving the industry of capitalism.
So. Right, well, and going even farther, mm. the industry of capitalism is potentially going to shorten the lifespan of the planet Earth. And so what were we supposed to do here?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
What?
Right, be a good cog.
Right.
Make things that can be sold and consumed. And
we were talking earlier about Mr. Rogers, and I
right.
used to love watching when he would follow how something was made, and you were talking about the North Face.
Mm.
I think it would be so fascinating to take the knockoff fleece and
mm.
then the North Face fleece and then follow the trail. Who made them? Where were they made?
Right.
I kind of think they're probably exactly the same, right?
Pretty similar, I would assume. Yeah. Just, a couple of stitches here, a couple of stitches there, and then, of course...
Probably same country.
Right.
That they were made in.
Yeah, and slap a different logo on it, though, and it makes a world of difference.
Right.
So.
In our crazy human minds.
Right. I mean, in our crazy human minds that... I think status is a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where culture makes a really large difference and who is in control of that culture.
Mm-hmm.
When those that are in control of culture are hell-bent on maximizing profit and selling and creating a vacuum in our souls that must be filled with things that will pass, it's hard to get out of that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and I think this is one of the things that I have struggled with as an artist and as a musician, but something that I talk about in the song, which is how do we find value when value is so... how do we find value in the art that we create when it is often assigned to us
mm-hmm.
By those that are trying to sell and commodify it.
So, right. Oh, it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
So we were talking about your future tour,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be with an extremely beloved dancer from Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your CD release party and what your future tour is about?
For sure. So I will be performing at Alberta Abbey along with Ching Ching Wong, who is currently with the Northwest Dance Project. Amazing dancer, so expressive, so technically just profound and excellent. I was, when I moved here, I moved to Portland actually last summer.
What brought you here?
My partner, Natasha, mm-hmm. who started working as a doctor in the Kaiser system here. Mm-hmm. So, and then of course, you know, being in Sacramento, I was ready after 3 years of living there to move to a different market, to find another creative community that I could learn from, that I could give to, and that I could, you know, collaborate with. Mm-hmm. So what was it? Oh, right.
How'd you come into crossing in with Ching Ching?
Right. So I was actually cold messaging a bunch of different dancers because I'd collaborated with a lot of dancers in the past. Mm-hmm. And it just so turned out that Ching Ching was herself looking to migrate out of the Northwest Dance Project and open up a new chapter of her life as a dancer with a lot to share and a lot to give and a lot to learn as well about, you know, what she wants her direction to be as far as choreography, as far as dance is concerned. Mm-hmm. She happened to respond, one of the few that responded, as is often the case in the arts world.
Well, so fascinating because she's one of the most talented. So it goes to show that, you know, who's supposed to respond is going to respond.
Right. It's really about alignment, right?
Right.
I mean, when are we, it's hard to find the exact point in time when other people and potential partners are in the right space to create something new,
mm-hmm.
Because it is such a long process. But as fate would have it, Ching Ching was looking to embark on her own quest as well. She was looking to go to Asia, tour to learn movements from, you know, not only companies that already exist in Asia, but also in terms of the folk movement. What mm-hmm. what can she learn from the everyday movements of people in those countries that would inform her of her own past as an immigrant Asian American?
Mm-hmm.
And also, what can she teach? I mean, she's learned so much, and as we've talked about, you know, she is really at the pinnacle in many ways of the dance world here mm-hmm. in the United States. So being able to travel with her, create something new with her for music and for dance and with some projection art,
mm-hmm.
it just was perfect that our quests, our thematic missions, and the place that we were as far as our artistic development, mm-hmm. our collective, our respective artistic developments happened to align here in Portland.
Mm, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So now, you went to Harvard.
I went to Yale.
Yale.
Oh, no!
Okay. It's funny. I just read it.
Yeah, no worries.
So, you went to Yale.
I did, yeah.
And you studied there, and you were a teacher.
Yeah.
Where were you teaching?
I was teaching, I taught my first year out of college, I was teaching at the Urban School of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So, spent a year there living in the Haight.
What subject?
English.
Oh.
English, and I got to offer one senior elective, which was gender identity in blues music. So looking at that, it was an amazing school. So to be able to offer a class like that was in and of itself a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent 3 years in Seattle, in the heart of Microsoft country, teaching at the Overlake School.
Oh, nice.
So I was teaching English there, comparative religion, and race and ethnicity.
Oh,
so.
Wonderful. And then you left teaching to pursue music full-time. What was the turning point?
Yeah, well, at Yale, I studied American Cultural Studies.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at how music and the arts could serve as a vehicle for identity formation, for political community building, and for pushing forward agendas of social justice.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a history professor, so I think in many ways my studies mirrored what I was familiar with. But now that I look back on it, it was also a hint of what was to come, which mm-hmm. is my fascination with music and sound. It was a career in music was certainly never something that was possible or even within the scope of reality for me growing up. You know, as the son of an immigrant, you know, my parents had to sacrifice so much to be in this country as far as status and as far as their access to success. And what often happens with immigrant children is that there is a pressure and perhaps a responsibility, a feeling of responsibility to attain what their parents were unable to. Mm-hmm. So finding something that is secure, finding something that is stable, mm-hmm. something that is also financially viable, given how much their parents often had to sacrifice.
I'm assuming you were studying violin throughout your young life.
I was, yeah, mm-hmm. Classically trained, mm-hmm. and started improvising and writing songs in high school.
But that was another thing that they were providing for you, but it's a very expensive endeavor.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And they provided some, but I definitely got the education that I received through the grace of a lot of these teachers who mm-hmm. offered me scholarships. Mm-hmm. There were, several teachers who wanted to teach me for free and were willing to give me that gift of expression. So
that's very special.
Yeah. But nevertheless, it was really just a hobby, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something that you did in your spare time. And first and foremost, I was a student. Mm-hmm. And, my future was really important that I become one of these very successful cogs in the machine. It was only after teaching high school at Overlake and meeting parents, meeting kids, meeting all sorts of different people that I realized how much as a high school student, your worldview is limited by that of your parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, so true.
Yeah, and bless my parents' hearts, right? But their world was very limited, severely limited, because of their immigrant experience.
Are they still in Sacramento?
No. So they actually moved from Seattle back to Korea in 2008. So mm-hmm. my dad is teaching now at Seogang University in Seoul, Korea.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Which is good for them, bless their hearts. But definitely it's very difficult to maintain that relationship and maintain a connection over a whole ocean.
They must miss you terribly.
Yeah, they were just here this past week, actually, mm-hmm. and it's just so good to be in their presence, especially in the face of a linguistic gap that is ever widening. When you're in separate countries, obviously you don't get that much time to practice. I don't get much time to practice Korean, and they don't get much time to practice English. Mm-hmm. So just to be... just to eat together, right? Just to hug someone or to smile or laugh with someone. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience to be here with them.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. But I think in that space, I've also met a lot of different people who have provided, I guess, similar roles. I mean, at Overlake, I had a teacher named Mia Wall, who gave me that permission that I think I never allowed for myself, and I think was outside the scope of reality for my parents as well. She, as my English mentor teacher, who was supposed to make me a better teacher, and she did, she was the one who encouraged me. You're spending free blocks, singing with the chamber choir. You're leading the a cappella group in your spare time. You love music. This is your chance, this is your time.
That's your machine.
Yeah, right, very, very right. My fantastical mystery machine, of
right.
course.
Right.
And she was one of the many people who encouraged me to take the plunge and try out music, try what I love as my means of sustenance.
And then how did you make that leap? That's a big leap and a huge leap of faith, not to mention.
Yeah, first 2 years were very depressing. It was really hard to take that, which was such a hobby and a source of personal therapy for me, mm-hmm. to then figure out how do I convert this into something that is both spiritually fulfilling for me as well as something that is desired by people out there. Mm-hmm. When I was teaching, I would come home, write music solely for myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't even post it on the internet, none of that. I mean, it was really for me. How can I then take some of these things that I'm feeling, find the resonant themes and feelings that that exists everywhere, and create something that is both therapeutic for me as well as providing that healing for anyone who has a soul.
Well, I really will encourage everybody to visit you on joekye.com, and that's K-Y-E,
yep.
Just so everybody knows. And Joe is going to be releasing his new work at the Alberta Abbey on October 27th, and you can find out information about that on the website as well.
Yeah, one thing I didn't mention is that the show will also feature the Bravo Youth Orchestra, which is an amazing program here in Portland.
Yes.
That provides underserved children with the opportunity to learn an instrument and to participate in an orchestra. So
great.
There are a few songs on the album with an orchestra. At the show, a couple of these songs will be performed with the Bravo Youth Orchestra. So
that's fantastic.
It'll be very
magical.
I'll
put the Bravo Youth Orchestra's website on the podcast as well.
Please
do. People can support them if they're so inclined, which I hope they are.
Woo!
Thank you so much for coming and talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really looking forward to hearing more of your music.
Peace.
The time borrowed, how we hollow but still full of an emotion, loaded like bullets hid inside the minds of magazine and dream. Now read the full clip, trying to communicate to those who just don't understand. Sometimes life feels so hopeless, I wanna die, but helping hands to keep carrying my weary soul. Something deeper is in control, need to find a way outside the drama that's become my show.
If I could fly to you, I wouldn't be giving up so soon. La da 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 da.
Propaganda's got us lost and trying to find the answer. Sobbing and smiling, we might as well laugh as we die of cancer. Money did help me with problems, but as yet to solve them. What's the reason for breathing, holding babies? Reminds me why I'm so grateful for beautiful blessings I've been given. Learning precious lessons from the presence of elders and children. The secret of life has been hidden, but I'm driven to manifest what I need to protect myself from this hell we live in.